This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the first in-season episode of the Almost Famous Podcast, 4 years in, if that makes sense. So, guys, we have Katie Thurston season to recap, episode one. And I gotta say, I was pleasantly surprised. I'll be honest, I think based on our podcast last week, you may know that my expectations were kind of low. And I'll say that from the scenes from the rest of the season, I don't know that we're getting anything monumental or totally different. But I think this is a nice group of guys. And I think that I'm getting Tayshia season vibes from them. So I think they'll be fun to watch. Ben Higgins, what is your initial impression of Katie's season?
My initial impression. Well, here's the truth.
Be honest. Come on. It's so much more fun.
Yeah. My honest opinion was kind of what I said last week. I think Katie is going to be really great. I think she's going to be very likable. I don't feel like I still got to know anything more about her, which is why, big announcement, we have Katie coming on the podcast today. Right now on this episode, after this segment, the Bachelorette herself will be here. But to be honest, I'm going to tell Katie this. I don't feel like I know anything about her. I don't feel like I knew anything more about her from watching this episode. I enjoy her. Again, I think she has a lot of Caitlin Bristow in her. I think she's going to be a very likable character. I think we're going to relate with her in a lot of ways. I think she's going to take it seriously, but it's going to be funny. And she's going to allow these guys to relax a lot, which I would always say was Caitlin's best skill set for me personally, was just that she allowed me to relax and be myself and say stupid stuff and do stupid stuff. But in terms of the episode itself, I thought it was fine. But if anybody's listened to this thing for 4 years, they've heard now 8 different times from me because of 8 different seasons we had. I think episode one is the worst episode of them all, always, no matter what. I'm just not a fan of episode ones because it feels like I'm excited for the season to start. And then the episode one hits and it's a little anticlimactic. Like, I'm more of this episode 5 to the end type of guy.
I know. I mean, same here. I think, like, I like the fact that this wasn't so, like, kitschy.
Yeah, fair.
There weren't a lot of limo exits that were, like, trying to be showy or overly funny and wacky. So I liked that. I think I got to get to know Katie a little bit more just by the guys that she was showing interest in. Like,
good
she
point.
Loved the cat. And I loved that she loved the cat so much.
There was a moment watching this episode where I was like, hey, I already like Katie. Yeah. Just like, don't know her, but I like her. And then the guys that she showed the most, like, it wasn't the most handsome guys. It wasn't the guys that strutted in and tried to be smooth. The guys that she showed the most interest in were the guys that was like, I could hang out with that dude. Like, he seems to just want to have a good time. He seems to be somebody that would make life interesting. Like, I was like, hey, I'm enjoying watching that. Yeah, you made a good point. We got to know her more this episode by the guys she was interested in.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we are going to get Katie on in a second. But before we do that, let's take one quick break.
We'll be back with Katie Thurston, the Bachelorette. We just mentioned at the first part of the podcast that we have a very special guest today. In fact, I couldn't think of a more special guest than who is on the podcast right now. Katie, the Bachelorette, is here. Welcome, Katie.
Hello, everybody.
Katie, we had just mentioned at the beginning, we've made it very clear to anybody listening, we're fans of you for multiple reasons, mostly just who you are and what we think you can do in this role. But if I'm going to be honest with you about something, there's one thing that's been difficult to process coming up for this season. I don't feel like we know you as well as others that have been on the lead for multiple reasons. You're not there as long as some others. Matt's season had a lot of things going on, a lot of conversations that weren't focused as much on the contestants and their backstories. And then I watched episode one, and I still don't feel like I know you as much as I want to. So if I gave you 1 minute right now to tell the listeners and myself and Ashley who you are as a person, why we should get behind you, what would you say?
I mean, for me, I'm just a regular person. And I think that's why I'm so excited to be in this role, is people get to see things that I've gone through and relate to that. There's going to be some really tough conversations, but important ones that happen. And yeah, people are going to get to know me more than they did, you know, unfortunately on Matt's season. There's more to me than just this like sex positive girl. Like I have a serious side. I have an emotional side, a sensitive side.
Are you annoyed that they've made sex such a storyline, or did you kind of know going into this season that you were going to have that be your theme because you walked in with a vibrator and it was kind of your theme on Matt's season?
I fully expected there to be some, you know, jokes around sex. But I will say that there's some important conversations that come up about sex this season that I'm actually very excited to have with Bachelor Nation.
What do you hope? I mean, if this is a storyline that you kind of walked into, and I mean, I know when I started my season, I didn't really know what this overarching story was going to be, other than the fact that I felt like unlovable. Like I knew that was going to stick just because that was kind of the thing. And so I had to, and I'm sure you did, but I had to process, like, what do I want out of this? Like, what do I hope this represents? What do you hope your storyline represents?
I mean, there's so many different things with that. I mean, I want people to see a love story, and I'll say there's more than one that happened. But more importantly, these men have great stories, and I'm really excited for Bachelor Nation to get to know them as well. And so, you know, that's what the show is about, is watching people fall in love, watching these stories, and a little less of what we saw, you know, last season, unfortunately. And my hope is that this does feel like a refresh, you know, back to basics, you know, what this is all about. Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of virgin storylines over the past 6 years, ever since, well, I don't want to say it, but me.
Yes.
And I think there's a little bit of a double standard for the girl versus the guy. I mean, the only real well-known guy virgin from the show is Colton, and well, that took a turn. And now we see there's a male virgin on your season. When you hear that, are you like, oh, that's not sexy? Or are you like, okay, I can get down with that?
I will say the moment I found out, you guys will be probably surprised just as I was in my reaction. I'll just leave it at that.
But okay. I mean, and clarify for me, because I am naive on a lot of these things. And yes, I'm 32 years old now, but I'm learning. When you say you're sex positive, that includes the discussions about it, understanding where people are at, and that's not just saying like, if you aren't actively out there having sex, like you're out of my circle, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you're a virgin, that's fine. That's your choice. Sex positive is just about talking about it, being comfortable with it, and not making it this like taboo topic that's off limits and like no one wants to discuss it. You know, it's something that should be just a normal conversation amongst adults.
It's awesome.
Besides that component of, you know, what you stand for, what do you feel like, what are the main reasons that you think the producers chose you to be the Bachelorette?
You know, I just think I'm in a good place in my life, given like my age and my confidence, and I'm just ready to really settle down. You know, when they asked me, I certainly was surprised because, you know, Ben, like you said, you hardly got to know me. And that's right. There were so many women who lasted longer who are just as deserving. But I think for me, I'm just in a place in my life where I'm ready and I'm open and I know that this can work.
I think it was a shocking choice because we didn't know you, but I do see how it fits. One of those ways it fits is there's just a lot of for the best of reasons, and there's not many negative I could speak of. There's a lot of Caitlin Bristow qualities that you and her share. Like you're very like, and just like, and I said this before you came on. One of the thing that stood out to me most about Caitlin Bristow was she allowed the contestants to be comfortable, like. From the get-go, like she just allowed me to take a deep breath and be like, okay, I don't have to be put together all the time. You did that in episode one. I think that's the one thing that stood out to me was like, I know I like Katie. Now I really like Katie because you showed interest in some of the guys that like in past seasons maybe wouldn't get as much attention, like the guy with the cat suit. Is that just who you're attracted to? Like what, like, do you feel like you can make people comfortable there? Is that kind of one of your goals?
Yeah, I think for me, I don't have a type when it comes to physical appearance. And so I really had to get to know these guys on a personal level. You know, if you see the people I've dated in the past, they all look very different. And so whereas you say like the cat costume or like the shy guy, like I'm just very open to getting to know their hearts.
I also want to add that you're kind of similar to Tayshia as a bachelorette in the way that, yeah, you were a little nervous before the first couple guys came out of the limo. You can sense that. But once you got in the groove of things, it felt like you were super comfortable in your skin conducting the crowd. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Did you feel that way?
Yeah. Initially, it was obviously very scary when I thought I was doing it alone as well. But when Tayshia and Caitlin kind of surprised me, that was a big weight lifted. Then the guys start making me laugh. That just kind of broke the ice as well. And by the end of the night, I was just like, wow, this night just flew by.
Did you think that there was going to be any host? And how do you feel about being the first Bachelor, Bachelorette season that Chris Harrison doesn't host?
Yeah, when I went into it, nobody told me anything. And so I really did think I was doing it alone. Or I thought maybe alumni would show up here and there for dates or whatever. So I'm standing there and I mean, you can see with my expression, like I am shocked and overwhelmed with emotion that not only do I get one Bachelor, I have two who are there helping me. And so to have them there, it really made a difference for me in moments where I thought I was going to give up.
There is a moment that I think I always love to ask the leads. There's a moment when you're standing there and all of a sudden I feel like on television, as Ashley just mentioned, we could see you take a deep breath and get comfortable. But that was also a moment for me where I was standing in front of all the women that had came and it felt more like a dream than ever. Like I almost broke down with emotion on just like the idea of like, how am I here? Not that like, this is the coolest, craziest thing I've ever, like that life can ever bring you. But like, I feel like I was chosen. I feel like people said they wanted to be here for me. What was that moment like for you to stand up in front of them? And 2 days before, you weren't the Bachelorette yet, but that moment you were the Bachelorette with all those guys that had arrived.
I mean, yeah, like you said, it was like a dream. And even leading into it, it was very hard for me to even say it out loud. Like, I'm Katie, I'm the Bachelorette. It's like, what is my life? And even now that we're done, I'm still kind of looking at it like, this is so crazy. Like, watch me on TV. And like that was my whole journey. Like, it just flew by. Mm-hmm.
We saw that Matt had such an issue, I don't know what the exact issue was, but like he never had that healthy relationship role model in his life. Okay. Right. So he was like always scared about whether he was going to be able to do it. And then you say at the beginning of the episode that you didn't really have that with your parents divorced when you were a baby. So do you have any of those fears or do you always feel like you're somebody who wanted to be married?
I want to be married. I think I'm hesitant. And that's why at 30, I'm still single because I don't want to end up like my parents did. But also in that you don't watch what a healthy marriage looks like. And so for me, there are mistakes I've made in the past that maybe had I witnessed what a positive relationship looks like, I would know, you know, red flags to be on the lookout for and what's, you know, working and what's not.
Katie, there's one thing that we can point to, though, that you know that we all know you do very, very well. So you obviously know how to have a relationship somehow because you have a lot of friends. I watch you on Instagram and you're surrounded by friends. Well, since we can and since the world's opened up all the time. What did your friends think and like how have they supported you through this?
I mean, they're excited for me and I'm just like this social butterfly. In fact, in high school, I was voted most likely to be on reality TV.
No way.
Perfect.
so they weren't even actually surprised. I know. It's so crazy.
That's so funny. Okay. So you talked about not having those role models. How many serious relationships have you had in the past? You mentioned that one of the guys looks like your ex. Did you think that as a good thing? Like, oh my gosh, he's going to ruin me all over again? Or is that a bad thing?
No, he looked like my high school sweetheart. So
okay.
There were some good vibes with that.
Okay.
But I've had, I would say, three serious relationships where we lived together. You know, there was a boyfriend where I was going to buy a house with him. So I've always very seriously dated. And so to be exposed to 30 men all at the same time, that was more guys than I've ever been exposed to in my entire life. So it was very different.
Now, Katie, let's enter into breaking down episode one just a bit with you here. We've now seen episode one. We're into the season. We're into the groove of this whole thing. As the season starts, then this happens with every lease. You're not alone in this. There's going to be something right now in the back of your head that you're like, I'm nervous about. I'm anxious about. I don't know if I want people to see it. I don't know if I want the public discussing it.
Totally.
That happened for me for weeks. In fact, I have more hair now than I did when I got off the show. And that's not a lie. That's true. Katie, what's sitting out there right now? And if you can't go into details, that's fine. But what's sitting out there that you're most nervous about?
I mean, nothing really comes to mind right away. I do feel like I'm going to be watching this and learn things that I could have done better as a generic statement. You know, there's this one moment where there is a miscommunication and I'm very interested in watching it back and seeing, you know, was I in the wrong or was he, or how could it have been handled better?
What about that scene where you're like, book my flight, I'm out of here? That's dramatic. You saying to the guys, if you're not here for the right reasons, get out. Well, we hear that every season, but book my flight, not every season. Give us a little tease.
I mean, I felt like I was losing control out of everything that was happening around me. And I started to doubt my entire experience and I was just done. I was exhausted mentally. I wanted to leave for sure.
Okay.
I wish I would have said that.
And then your season, per rumors, wrapped about a week early. So, I mean, did you book your flight? Did they book it? Were you out of there?
I mean, I think when you guys see the ending of things, it all kind of makes sense on why everything happened the way it did.
This is you're going to have to get really good at dodging these questions, by the way. I'm sure you already are, but there's so many different spins and twists that people will try to put on you. Well, we're excited to watch alongside you this whole time, and we don't want to spoil anything. But one thing you had mentioned before, you know, Matt's season had a lot of topics discussed, and there's a lot of things that happened in the midst of Matt's season that have now, you know, had some type of consequence, good or bad, on your season, right? Chris Harrison isn't there. But one of the big things that stood out during Matt's season was the drama, and it was a focus of the show. And here at Almost Famous, we were critical of that. We didn't know who to blame, if it was the show itself or if it was the cast. And then we watched your preview, and it looked really great at first. And then it looks really dramatic with a lot of fights and a lot of arguments. Can you just let us know, like, is this season, is it going to be like Matt's with the cast, or does it feel like a refresher?
I think you guys are actually going to see a bromance like never seen before. The bond that these guys have is very fun to watch. I mean, of course there is some drama, but you know, overall, I don't think that that's going to be the theme.
Do you remember, Ben, how we thought that Tayshia's season was so great because it was generally drama-free? I feel like watching your teaser, it's actually a big fake-out to us because I can, like, sense by watching these so many times, it's like they use the ambulance as drama. That's not really going to be drama. They use Blake as drama. I don't think Blake's going to be drama. I think Blake probably comes in next week and he's not a huge splash with the guys because he comes in early enough. I think a lot of the drama that we see in the teaser is going to be fake drama, and I'm getting more Tayshia vibes, like we're actually going to see more of the love and relationships developed. And I think that overall, in general, we get more of the love and connection through the Bachelorette franchise than we usually do with The Bachelor.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Someone who's watched the show, the Bachelorettes are always, you know, a little more successful in finding their person. Mm-hmm. And so I do hope that there is more love stories than any kind of drama for sure.
Yeah, I hope so also. It's more fun to watch. I think you're going to be your own person. You're going to shine in this in your own unique way. We just haven't seen it yet because we've only seen one episode. But with Caitlin, which is who right now I see the most with, Ashley will say Tayshia. Her season was fairly drama-free because of who she was. She allowed the space for us to talk. She allowed us to be ourselves. She welcomed the friendships. She didn't fight against them and get jealous of them. And so far, after watching episode one, I feel like you're going to do the same.
Yeah, I mean, I want it to be a good experience for everybody. And I don't want anyone to be distracted by the drama. You know, we're all here for one reason, so let's make the best of it. And I think that's really what happened.
All right, let's get into the nitty-gritty of episode one. My biggest question after wrapping the episode for you was, loved Greg, thought Greg was awesome. One of my favorites. I'm going to put him into the top three that Ben is going to ask me to predict later. But I really felt a stronger connection with the cat Connor. I was shocked to see you pick Greg over Connor B. What went into that decision? Was there something with your conversation with Greg that we didn't see that did make him rise above what you had with Connor? Because Connor and that kiss and the black nose, and you guys were like, that physical chemistry was intense.
I mean, you can view the first impression, Rose, as, you know, reassuring somebody or encouraging someone, you know, and with Connor the cat, as I call him, I think our connection was very obvious and I didn't think he needed that validation. Okay. Whereas like, with Greg, he was so nervous. In fact, you only saw just a brief moment of his exit from the limo of just how nervous he was. And I just love that he was himself and not trying to be too cool or put on any gimmicks. Like, he was just like, I'm scared, you know? And I was like, look, here's a rose. Know that I'm interested in you. Like, get rid of that, those nerves, and let's, you know, figure out who you are really.
Okay. So for you, this was the reassurance rose, maybe not necessarily your, my most connection rose.
Yeah. You want to call it a reassurance rose? That's probably pretty accurate.
I think that's super sweet because it is nerve wracking. And when you stand up there and somebody gets out of the limo and they're not nervous, it actually kind of feels weird. It's like, I remember my moment. I was so nervous, right? Like, how are you so confident right now? Like, there's got to, what have you done? Who are you? I do think I know maybe why Connor didn't get the first impression rose, though.
Why?
He did something, maybe the only thing that really annoyed me this episode.
Really?
So Katie and him are having a moment. Katie, I think you remember this. And you take off his cat hat and you say, oh, you're just as cute without the costume. Really good for you. That was smooth, Katie. Great work. Mm. And then Connor decides to put back on the cat mittens to make out with you again. Like,
I thought it was cool.
You thought it was cool. I was like, Connor, what in the back of your head is thinking at this moment? You have them off. You have the hat off. You're already kissing. You need to put them back on so that her face is full of fur. That part was weird to me.
I mean, yeah, it certainly was a moment for sure. I can't say I've ever made out with a cat like that, but yeah. It is the Bachelorette.
It was so cute. I thought it was so cute that you didn't care that all of his cat makeup was getting over your face. That was a strong connection that I'm really excited to see continue. Now, you kissed three guys as far as what we saw. Justin, Connor, and Greg. Any other guys get kisses that night that we didn't see?
Hard to say. You know, when you're there, everything kind of blends together. But I will say there's more to come.
Yeah, it does blend together. If somebody asked me right now, like, I would be like, I have no clue. It's all a blur. Wait till you get 5 years out and you're like, I don't remember a single thing from that whole deal.
Okay, well, Katie, recently Allie Fedotowsky said that if she had to give advice to bachelorettes, she says that you should ignore all the guys that you know you're keeping around for a while on night one. Like, if he comes out of the limo and he grabs your attention and you want him around for a while, you got to ignore that guy on night one. If you were to, quote, ignore some of those guys just out of the limos, who would you say that you should have been ignoring at the cocktail party? Like, who, like, really made your first impression? Like, oh, my God, this guy doesn't have to speak one more word. He is in with me for weeks.
Probably Andrew S.
Okay. Andrew is on my list of going far.
Of course it is. Now he is. As of this moment, he is. Where'd he go, Ashley?
You pick Andrew with the fake accent. He was so sweet. Yes, I have him in my top four. What was it about him? He just seemed easygoing, authentic.
Yeah, our connection was just very easy. You know, some people are so nervous that it is a little uncomfortable to try and have these conversations. With him, I just felt like I knew him for years.
He stood out to me too. And he's the football player, right? Isn't that what he does?
Yeah.
His story is unique. Like, I want to learn more about how you play football in Austria. Like, what is that? And I've never heard of that. I'm a sports fan. Like, what does that life look like? Super. He's just an intriguing guy. Seems to be up to a lot. You know who else? And I'm always bad with names, Katie. So please forgive me here. I don't mean to make any offense. The artist, and
Justin.
Yeah, like that. That's impressive to me. That somebody would do that, thinking about it beforehand and then also spend their time during quarantine. I was like, that's who I want to be. I want to be the guy in quarantine painting. Like, what a break from life you get to create art. Why, you know, I sit in my hotel room and watch Netflix.
Yeah, when he showed me that piece, I thought he was joking. When he's like, I painted this for you. I was like, ah, ha, ha, yeah, okay. He's like, no, I'm serious. And I was just so impressed with how talented he is.
You were such like, a supportive person in your bachelor house. You know, you were the one standing up for other people. Do you feel like the dynamic is any different when you have a group of girls living together versus a group of guys?
I feel like guys can move on more easily than women. And so I think that does change the dynamics of drama. You know, I know there were some moments that have happened that were then quickly forgotten about, you know, during our time together. And there's moments I still haven't seen, you know, like in the house or in their interviews that maybe like the night one, I didn't even know that Cody and Aaron spoke about their dislike for each other.
Yeah.
Speaking about that, what a weird moment. It was like 30 seconds of, I don't like you. I haven't liked you since I first met you, as if like they met months ago. It seems super out of context and as if it was just like thrown in there for drama. I don't know what was up with that. Is that going to be a storyline that continues, you think?
I will say that's just a little intro to their dynamic for sure.
Okay. Yeah, that was weird. That was one of the weirder conversations I've ever seen on this show. And there's been some odd ones. Hey, Katie, we have just a few minutes left with you. And Ashley always likes to play a game. It's a tradition here at the Almost Famous Podcast with the new leads. But I also like to take a second every year and have a moment with you. And I'm really interested, Katie. You're sitting there in the seat right now. You're doing interviews all day. You're probably tired. Your first episode of The Bachelorette has now aired, and you are known across the country as The Bachelorette. Your life has changed dramatically. If human to human, how are you doing?
I mean, you say my life's changed dramatically, but it hasn't. I think it could, it will. I don't know. I think for now, I still just feel grounded so far. I mean, it's early. I know I'm heading into something I have no clue what to expect, but for now I'm good. I feel good, but I know there's like this, I don't know, this new chapter coming, this new storm. Maybe it's not a storm. I don't know.
What are you leaning on to stay grounded? I mean, things are about to change for you, and it's just inevitable. Like, your face is going to be on the cover of magazines, and you're going to be on commercials, and you're going to get a lot of praise, and you're also going to get a lot of criticism. It comes with the territory. Like, how are you going to stay where you're at now?
I mean, I have great friends and family that are keeping me grounded. I'm in the Bachelorette group chat that we have, which I think is really cool. It's just all of us in one thread, just supporting each other.
All the Bachelorettes? Like all of them?
Every single Bachelorette.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
Whoa, that's so cool. Well, yeah. What's the best piece of advice from that group chat?
I mean, so far it's just been like, don't read the comments, basically.
Mm-hmm. I could agree.
That's good advice. Yeah. Okay, Katie. So we have a new tradition here. My mom, growing up, always used to try to figure out whether my sister and I really liked somebody by saying their name. And then we'd have to try our very hardest to say their name with a straight face. And if we couldn't do it, that meant that we like probably kind of liked them. Okay. So I'm going to give you some names here. And yeah, you're on camera and you're being recorded. And these are the guys that I think might make you smile. And then maybe I'll throw in some random ones in there too. Okay.
Right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
James. Andrew. That was harder. Connor B. Oh, that was even harder. Greg. Justin. Gabriel. Who's this? Who's the one?
Ben.
There's no Ben. There's no Ben.
Okay, fine.
For a constant, Ben.
Ben.
Okay. Yeah, that wasn't hard at all.
Thomas. Michael A.
Michael A.
And last one.
Blake.
Oh.
Blake.
Last one. Courtney.
Courtney.
And Christian.
Christian.
All right, Katie. I do think you have a better poker face than Matt did. But I think I'm also going to overanalyze this tape, and we'll get back to you on who we think you're going to choose next week.
You're going to be super. I know you're going to be. That's going to be on the back of your mind is who does Ashley and Ben choose for me watching me smile? Well, Katie, your pleasure. You're awesome. We wish you the best. Reach out if you need anything. Thanks for coming on. Stay strong. And tell the whole team around you, because I know there is probably a bunch of eyes listening and watching right now that Ashley and I say hi. Hey, wish you the best, Katie.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
So obviously we just had the expert of the season. She knows all, and she stayed I didn't get a lot of read on Katie on how this season went and who she ends up with, if anybody, from that interview. But I mean, a great interview, I think, incredible to do. I just don't know. I don't feel like I know anymore after listening to her, you know? I do feel like she said something there, and I would agree with her because she said it about herself. So it'd be weird if I didn't. But she seems very grounded, and she seems she seems she said, a very normal human who got placed in a really weird situation, which is always the best type of people for this gig.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. So I want to go through my biggest takeaways as far as our recap goes, because I wrote guys' names down, and I'm really bad with names the first couple episodes. So I kind of find celebrity lookalikes for them, or I get to know them based on whether they had a really sweaty face or whatnot. So do you want to go down my list and then we can chat about these standouts?
Yeah, take it away for a bit, because I got some questions for you based on the episode. I really want to talk to you about your thoughts on Caitlin and Tayshia. That's obviously going to be a big storyline. I want to talk about this new location that they're in. Obviously some of the guys that stood out to you. So I do want to get your top three. But before we do, let's take it away with your show notes, your clip notes.
The cat/teacher, Connor, who we talked about a good amount with Katie, he's one of my big standouts. For some reason, he was really able to pull off the costume. You know, we've seen so many costumes in the past and they don't always play as well. But man, she really liked that. And I thought that he was just so endearing and so sweet and genuinely seemed to be very into her, did some background research on her. There was a real physical and I feel a chemical connection there. He's going real far. I loved the Boston guy, Christian, who I already said is Jared's future best friend because he likes parades and just wants to drive the Batmobile, and he's from Boston. I don't know that he's going to hang around for a while, but I think he's one of the cuter guys. Then there was who I called the accent guy, who is Andrew. Big standout. Super sweet. I genuinely bought the accent. I wouldn't have thought otherwise. Would you have?
No, he was really good at that.
Really good. Yeah, really good. And then there was Marcus, who I just think is super sweet. And I named him as one of my favorites just looking at his picture. I think he has that sweet puppy dog face and it translates.
Ashley, you're using a word right now that we need to kind of focus on, because we don't always do.
Sweet.
Well, yeah. And that's fine. That's great. It's a great descriptor.
But
most seasons, when we watch the first episode, I mean, there's been many times where these guys are arrogant. These guys are cocky. These guys are trying too hard. These guys are acting like they're, the cat's meow. Mm-hmm. But you're saying sweet, which does remind me of Tayshia's season.
Yeah.
Because that's how we were describing the guys from her season. But it's not like that always. Sometimes there's been breakdowns that we've had after episode one where we've been I don't know. These guys just seem like they want to take their shirt off and post on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of big egos from what I've seen so far. I liked Thomas. He did have a really super greasy, sweaty face. But he's a very classically handsome man who I think is going to be around for a while. Then there was Gabriel, who looks like Orlando Bloom, but he got no airtime, but he did really turn her on as he exited the limo. She looked at Tayshia and Caitlin and she was like, whoo, yeah, he's hot.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Greg, and I liked Greg a lot because, yeah, he was so nervous, but like leaned into being nervous, like Katie said. He also made that adorable necklace made out of pasta, or he didn't make it. The niece made it and gave it to her and then said, like, I don't know if you know, but it's not real gold. And that was funny. I think it shows that he has a really great sense of humor that we're going to get to know better. Trey was the guy with the trunk full of balls. And I think they had a really nice connection as well. And he came across very sweet, endearing. She kissed Justin. And I noticed that Justin has a lot of scenes in the next episodes. You know, they show him a lot in the teaser. So I think he's going to be a prominent character. However, I didn't feel the chemistry between them enough in that moment for him to go for such a sloppy kiss the way he did. That seemed like he was coming on a little bit too strong, but maybe there was stuff from that scene that was missing a bit. Do you remember this kiss?
Yeah.
It was the first kiss aired.
Yeah. It's hard to judge kisses at this point. I was hard on Matt James for kissing with his eyes open, and people seemed to kind of find that fine. And, you know, you get a camera up in your face with people watching you start kissing. I'm going to give all these guys a little grace on night one and say, if it's week five and they're still like, you know, missing her lips, then we'll give some criticism. But at this point, you just went in for it. And that's a big move.
Hey, he was not missing her lips. There was a lot of lip locking in that.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was James in the box. Now, very funny, a couple weeks ago when we saw the box on the cast list, we thought that was going to be Blake, right? We're like, oh, Blake for sure. It was not Blake. It was a guy named James. And she liked this costume as well. It really responded well. He was getting pushed around all night long, and then he revealed himself in a room privately, and I think he went over quite well.
It gave me so much anxiety.
Why?
Oh, I'm so claustrophobic, and the idea that he was in a box for as long as he was, like, it just, like, literally, like, it's one of the only cringeworthy moments from this episode for me was, like, just seeing the box roll up, one, and then seeing him not get out of the box, two, and then being in the mansion or the house, whatever, the resort with the box. Very hard for me to like, watch.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I get it. That is pretty claustrophobic. But it really worked for him because she seemed so attracted to him. So I think that he goes far as well. There's somebody in the house that is the villain, right? There's somebody that all the guys want out of the house. I do not think it's going to be Blake. I think Blake goes in really early. I think he goes in really early, like I said, probably next week. Doesn't create a whole bunch of drama, but I think there's another guy in there that all the guys want out. Don't know who it is. Don't know if it's the guy that says it's like he's there for followers.
It could be him. My vote is being strongly cast behind the guy who went up to the dude and was like, hey, I don't like you. Because
what's his name?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't really know if I want to get to know his name. But because then he walked in the room. It wasn't even him going up to somebody being like, hey, I don't like you. It was then he walked into the room and his hypocritical side came out where he's like, loosen up, guys. It's a party. It's like, you're the one that just like totally ran, like cornered a dude and was like, I don't like you. I don't know. This character, he has a story coming. So I'm putting my vote behind him.
Was that guy's name Aaron, the insurance salesman from San Diego? I'm looking at the cast list. I have to go back and rewatch that scene. I don't know who
people will know who we're talking
with.
About. Yeah, people will know who we're talking about.
Okay. And then the other guy I think is worth mentioning is Michael A. He looks like Sean Hayes to me, and he has a kid who is staying with his parents, so that makes me feel like maybe the mom isn't as involved and he's the primary caretaker for his child. And I think that led to a pretty revealing conversation with Katie when she said like she can kind of like take kids or leave them. She's kind of happy with however way her life turns out.
Yeah, it was a special moment. I liked him. So if we're going to, as we do every episode, start your top three, Ashley, Ike, and Eddie, who would it be?
Okay, so it's going to be Andrew, Connor B., and Greg.
Fair. I couldn't disagree with any of those. I think it's a great choice. So we'll mark that. And then next week, I'll ask you the same question after episode two. Okay. Ashley, you're a resident bachelor expert. And you have strong feelings on the tradition of the show. We've now seen Nemacolin. We've also seen La Quinta. We're now seeing a brand new resort in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. Ashley, how do you feel about the setup so far after night one?
It looks kind of like desert and deserted and
hot.
I guess I prefer more of a Nemacolin look, like a temperate forest fall feel. This looks like really dry flatland, not a lot of color. So if we're going to go based on that, I mean, the aesthetic can be cool. I don't know if we're going to get like a whole variety of scenery though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Nemacolin just kind of blew it out of the water. Like that night, that night one, we watched and it was like breathtaking just seeing the backdrop of the resort behind it. And I mean, this didn't have that. Now we'll wait and see as the episodes continue, kind of what kind of dates they can put on there and how it looks. But I would say right now my vote for all out of the three of them, if we're going to rank those, would be Nemacolin number one.
Me too.
Just because it was absolutely gorgeous.
This looks very similar to Palm Springs.
I would agree. Yeah, I would agree with that. Well, Ashley, this is the big conversation that everybody will be having this week. This is the first season that Chris Harrison doesn't host, and we have two new mentors, Caitlin Bristow and Tayshia Adams, who are there with her. Now, Ashley, I want to ask you and the audience, because I remember during my season, I don't know if it was joking. I don't know if they were serious, but some of the girls from my season, like they would have a crush on Chris Harrison. They would tell me that, right? Or they would have, they would have a crush on one of the producers. Now that steps into some murky water because there has been storylines in the past where a cast member has hooked up with one of the producers and they kind of leave together. So just like, if we're kind of making this just a lighthearted conversation, not saying anybody's going to be doing anything. Just knowing that, hey, the cast is around the hosts quite often. Would you be intimidated if you were the bachelorette on having two former bachelorettes there with you walking alongside of you? I mean, they're obviously all beautiful, but does that add a weird dynamic? Listeners, I would love for you to respond to this via email or on Instagram, just kind of what your thoughts would be. But Ashley, what do you think?
Okay, if I'm going to be straight up honest, I would be a little bit intimidated, but the fact that these two girls are in such public relationships and they are so in love,
fair enough,
then no, I'm not intimidated by the guys being interested in them because, like, I know these girls aren't going to be interested in the guys. Now, if you had two sexy single ladies, I'd be like, okay, don't look at them, please. Please. Yeah. Stay far behind me.
Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, yeah, it just adds, I mean, even, you know, and you get it, like, Chris is a good looking guy. The producer is good looking people. Like, you get it. You're just around and like the lead isn't around all the time. And so you're around like the producers a lot more than you are the lead. And so over time, like, and you're having these like very heartfelt conversations. The producers care about you.
This is different.
And it's different
because these girls are there for Katie. They're advising Katie. They're not going to be, I don't think, mingling with the contestants that much. Mm-hmm. I think I do get the producer love fest though, because you are talking to them constantly and you're having such intimate like therapy sessions with them that you get so close. There was times on my season where we were like, do I have more of a crush on so-and-so than I do on Chris?
Yeah.
So that's fine, but I don't think that these girls are going to be playing that role whatsoever with the guys.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Tayshia and Caitlin, we've watched the first episode. It's obviously just the first episode, but what were your thoughts on their, I mean, we're calling them mentors. So what were your thoughts on their mentor role and how it played out?
Well, it's clear to me that they are like not there as real hosts. Okay. So they didn't talk to the guys. They only said, here's the final rose. Like, if you didn't get a rose, say your goodbyes. Like, they just said classic lines like that. And otherwise, they were really just there being cheerleaders for Katie, so it seems.
It's, and you and I both know this. I mean, we've done this for 4 years together. Co-hosting is not always easy. Now, you and I have had the benefit of getting along in on the podcast and outside the podcast. You know, both of us understand that this is not our, you know, this doesn't survive if you're gone. It doesn't survive if I'm gone. But I would imagine too, like I've co-hosted stuff with people that that's a little bit more competition between, like, how did they decide who gets the rose ceremony which night? Like, I want to know the behind the scenes on, okay, tonight, Caitlin, you say this is your final rose, and Tayshia, you say goodbye to the guys. Like, how that, there had to be a little bit of a difficult dynamic, at least starting out.
I think it's just going to swap back and forth.
You think
those classic lines will go back and forth? And I'm sure depending on the activity, the date, the issue, they'll either come together or it'll be the Bachelorette who dealt with more of a similar situation that goes to be Katie's support.
Yeah. It's kind of a funny analogy, but like Bachelor Live on stage, mm-hmm. like Becca and I did, we traded off. And that was kind of how we decided to do it. Like we had to be very clear on like, hey, so that I'm not always overstepping on you and you're not always overstepping on me and none of us are in competition. Let's just trade off and let's make that clear up front. And it worked. You just have to have that communication. It feels like Tayshia and Caitlin like each other enough and still do that. It plays out well. Like there's no drama between the hosts, and that's a big deal. Well, it was, it was weird to watch our first season without Chris standing up there. I would say it definitely felt different to me. I don't know if it did to you or any of the listeners, but it felt a lot different to me.
It felt the most different to me during the opening scene without his voice doing the voiceover. That's when I felt kind of whacked out. A little bit odd not having him there to like kind of give direction, like welcome the audience back, and then to like give the pep talk to the lead. I think as the episode went on, they edited it in such a way that we would not feel like it was missed as much, but the beginning was definitely weird for me. And so was the voiceover at the end for the scenes for the next episode.
How did you feel about Caitlin and Tayshia kind of standing inside watching and like commentating at all?
I'm like a little bit split on it.
Okay.
It just kind of reminded me of the girls watching through the window when the other girls arrive on a Bachelor season, right? So it was like kind of fun and giggly. I could have taken it or leave it. Like, obviously, as friends of Tayshia and Caitlin, like, I will take all their screen time. But, like, I don't know that it really enhanced the episode.
You know, what I was thinking is how much work that was for them. Like, they stood at that window for how many hours? Now, obviously, you know, Katie was there the whole time also meeting the guys, but that's a long time to be commentating. And it's just, I'm going to be really interested to see how much we see of Caitlin and Tayshia as each episode goes on, and how involved they get and kind of how they fill the gap.
Yeah, that was fun, but I bet you it took a lot of energy because you have to like really express and emote.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite things that happened in this episode was not exactly Bachelorette related, but it was the amazing trailer for one of my favorite Broadway musicals, In the Heights. It's by Lin-Manuel Miranda, the creator of Hamilton. It was his first Broadway show that he wrote. And it's such a good feel-good movie. It's so uplifting. It's family-oriented. It's so cultural. I love it. It's also directed by John M. Chu, who directed Crazy Rich Asians. So if you like Hamilton, if you like Crazy Rich Asians, this is going to be a great movie for you. And right now, the score on Rotten Tomatoes is incredible. 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's the kind of movie that you want to see on the big screen. So if you're comfortable going back to the movies, Jared and I went to the movies for the first time last week. It felt so good. This is the kind that you want full surround sound and to be completely and fully immersed into without your phone being sitting there and being able to be checked a lot. You know how like if you go to the movie theater, you just have a whole different immersive experience. I can't watch a full movie at home without being distracted. So go to the theater, see In the Heights. June 10th comes out tomorrow. Oh, no. June 10th. It's PG-13. So, you know, bring the whole family out there. And it's going to be on HBO Max, too, for 31 days.
No, it looks really good. I'm super pumped for it. Love musicals. Obviously a fan of both Hamilton and Crazy Rich Asians. And then if it gets 99% on Rotten Tomatoes, gotta trust it. Gotta trust it. Mm-hmm. Well, we're in one episode now to this kind of, I guess, new chapter with the franchise. And there is a headline that we want to get it into this week.
Yeah.
But before we do, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a headline that that speaks to Chris Harrison's future, at least for what we assume. And it speaks to it in relation to Michelle's season that will be coming up right after Katie's. But let's take a break first. Well, we just got done talking about this new chapter for the franchise, and it seems like it's here to stay. You know, like it or not, it seems like it's here to stay, and this is why. The headline reads, and this is according to us, Chris Harrison will likely not return for Michelle Young's season of The Bachelorette.
Yeah, so a source tells Us Weekly that Chris Harrison is likely to not be back. Although final decisions have not been made, the insider notes that they are currently weighing their option for a new host for Michelle Young's season. News of this comes one day. This happened one day after it was confirmed that Chris would not be coming back for Paradise and that there will be a slew of celebrity guest hosts, including David Spade, hosting Paradise.
It's a big announcement, and everybody's kind of wondering, right? There hasn't been a lot of clarity on what the future looks like, and if there is one with Chris in the show. A lot of rumors swirling around. We'll wait and see, and we'll continue to update everybody as we know more. But this is the most recent information we have, is that right now it doesn't look like he's going to return.
What are your thoughts on David Spade and then Wells and Sarah? And has there been anybody else announced? Because I know one person that's hosting that has not been announced. What do you like of the announcement so far?
I mean, obviously, Wells is a great friend of mine, and this is a big moment for him and Sarah. But I mean, Sarah's, you know, been in the spotlight for a while, and she has, a name behind herself that, you know, she can pretty much do what she wants at this point within the entertainment world. So I'm super pumped for Wells. Very, very excited for him and Sarah. The David Spade thing really threw me off.
It doesn't throw me off at all. Continue with your thought.
Well, I know, you know, I know some people that know David Spade, some producers of this podcast, and really like him as a person. I don't know him at all. I've only been around him once at an event. But it, like, what I don't see is David Spade being serious. We've never seen it. And I think in Paradise, there's so much chaos and there's so much drama and there's so much ridiculousness being thrown around that, like, the moments of peace came from when Chris would step in as kind of that, like, adult figure who would, like, calm the storms. Now, okay. I don't know if I see David do it. I don't know how that looks. So I'm going to be intrigued to watch it. I will say I'm interested. Like, I'm interested, which makes me want to tune in.
Yeah, there's not clarity on how many weeks he'll be stepping in. It might be just one. It might be one. It might be two. I little disagree with you. I think because Bachelor in Paradise has so much levity that because he's funny, it's going to be fine. I think if anything, we're going to get like a lot of little raccoon scenes. And I think we're going to get a lot of laughs with David. I got to have lunch with him through Amy, producer Amy, if you are still on here, Amy, come in. I want to hear your thoughts on David because you are friends with him. And he's such a cool dude.
Well, you can assume some things, Amy. So, you know, David, you know, he's a fan of the show. You've watched Paradise many times before. How do you think it's going to be as a host? Like, how do you feel like the vibe's going to be? What is his skill sets that are going to be offered to this? Like, why should the audience be tuning in?
Okay, I'll give you my two answers, which are sort of polarizing. One is, I love him. He is such a funny guy, but he is such a nice guy.
Yeah.
And he's really into the show and like the relationships of the show. And he's also a really, really sweet, sweet guy who I go to for guy, like boyfriend advice all the time. So that makes me think potentially he's going to be really great because he knows a lot about relationships and will have great advice. My concern, which isn't a concern, I also find him to be hysterical. So my only thing is like, am I going to just be watching the show, watching him? Like, literally, I can see my eyes just going on to him being like, make me laugh. And I won't even pay attention to what's happening in the scene.
Okay. Yeah. Like, are you going to be sad if he doesn't get a lot of airtime and he's not able to make a lot of jokes?
I don't know. I feel like he will, but I feel like I'm good. He's a movie star for a reason, because we're all sort of like, he's sparkly, he's captivating. So I may just forget to pay attention to like the contestants at some point.
I think you guys, he's going to be great. He's warm and he is kind of a secret heartthrob. Amy, stay on for this. He has dated some sexy women in Hollywood, including Heather Locklear, Carmen Electra. If he can reel in these girls, because he's a handsome dude. He's handsome. He's good looking, right? But he's not a smoke show. It's his personality. And he can help these guys reel in ladies with just their personality, with maybe his advice.
I fully am attracted to him. He is a big, I'm too old for him, because I'm like, I always say I'm like 10 years younger than him and I'm way too old for him. Like, he is very dreamy. He will be great at this. I mean, I miss Chris. I'm going to say that, but yeah. And I notice his absence, but yeah. I do think this is a genius idea for Paradise. And I'm like, I'm also Wells' number one fan, so I think he's genius too.
Yeah. Okay, back to the headlines. Let's start with The Bachelor stars Matt James and Rachel Kay planning to move in together. This is a headline according to Page Six.
Yeah, so they're thinking about where he wants to restart his real estate career. And he's thinking Miami. They both want to stay on the East Coast because their families are there. Plus, apparently, the Miami real estate, life is really blowing up. And the weather is, of course, year-round beautiful. So there you go. Well, let's see if they really do move into the same apartment or house together. That'll be something.
Things are moving fast there.
Big step. I know.
Not more than just a few weeks ago, we actually announced that they were even seeing each other. Now we're getting rumors that they might move in together. Well, here is another relationship update. I wish we had like one of those little like ding, ding, ding things or that get people excited about this from the Bachelor Nation franchise. Piper James and Brendan are dating. They're super into each other is the quote. This according to Us.
You guys, can you believe? First off, I think there's going to be some disappointed people who were planning on seeing them in Paradise or who would have loved to see this unfold in Paradise. But it seems like they may not be going to Paradise to continue their relationship, because the two of them were spotted in the Boston area, which is where Brandon lives, over the Memorial Day weekend, which was also the weekend that the first set of Bachelor in Paradise contestants were shipped out to Mexico. So don't know that we're going to see either of them there. I think there's going to be a lot of girls there that we're looking forward to meeting with Brandon, and same with guys hoping to see Piper. They say that they either fly out to New York or she'll fly to Boston. And I guess they're pretty close because she's living in New York and he's living in Boston. So like they don't even have to fly to each other. They can just drive. It's only a 4-hour drive. They've been keeping their relationship under wraps since they're trying to make the long distance thing work. It's still new, but they're super into each other and they're getting to know each other and they're having fun going on dates. They also have a ton of mutual friends in the Bachelor crowd. So that makes, dating really fun and easy. Yeah, this is very exciting for the two of them.
Ashley, just a few more big headlines to cover. Mm-hmm. Kelly Flanagan, we've talked about it many times over the last few weeks on how big of a hot commodity she'd be in Paradise, but we didn't know if she was going or not. Well, the headline reads this: Kelly Flanagan sets the record straight on Bachelor in Paradise rumors.
Ben, I cannot believe this.
I can't either.
She's not going to Bachelor in Paradise.
It's absolutely wild.
Wild. Bennett thought he was just going to have the most romantic time down there with Kelly. She's not even going. Somebody asked her on her Instagram Q&A on June 2nd how her love life was going. And she said, going to Mexico in 2 weeks, smiley face. But then was asked about her going to Paradise. And she goes, no, I'm not. I'm just going to Mexico.
absolutely wild. I cannot believe it. I thought for sure she was a shoe-in, but she's not. She's just hanging out in Mexico. Well, final headline, and we're sharing this one because it's brave. It's just really incredible, and I know now, you know, as I mentioned every week, because Jessica's in the skincare world, and I've gotten to talk to Ashley now for 4 years about her struggles, but also her your passion for skincare. This was big because I had to message her personally and just say, you know, thank you for so many of the people out there that would be watching. But Christina Schulman goes makeup free to document painful red PD flare ups. She says it's an all time low. This is according to People. One, before you break this down and talk about it, Ashley, just want to say, you know, really cool of Christina. And anytime anybody that has a following, anytime they kind of break through the hey, everything's perfect facade and share something that maybe isn't perfect, it's a moment for us all to connect. So kudos to Christina for doing this.
For sure. I loved this. There were so many Bachelor alums who wrote under her picture, thank you for this. You know, really appreciate the rawness, the realness. She has, I don't know how to say it, prurial dermatitis. And it flares sometimes, and it's fine sometimes. She even says in the caption that her and her dermatologist figured out something that really worked for her for a while. But then it ended up coming back a couple months later. So she has this slideshow type of Instagram reel where she shows her skin on good days and on bad days. It's kind of like a rash, like a blotchy rosacea type look, small red bumps. And she says, there were hopeful times and a time where I hit an all-time low. She felt like she wanted to be raw, emotional, unfiltered. And she felt like she woke up the morning that she posted this and she felt really down and overwhelmed and sad and defeated. And for the past few days, she said she stayed quiet, stayed off social media in hopes that she could get to a better mental state where she could share her skin's journey and her progress and the progress that hasn't come just yet. She's so many people were thankful for, you know, her being so open about this because like, there's so many times where we look at Instagram and we're like, oh my God, that doesn't even look like skin. It's so perfect. Like, how do you look like that? Right. And we can really get down about our appearance because of what we see through filters and all that. And I know that while I've never had this type of dermatitis, I've had times where I had an allergic reaction to something that I couldn't figure out. And it took like months to figure out what was causing the allergic reaction. And I would wake up with the puffiest eyes and like such a swollen face. And it was just experiment after experiment of, you know, what it could be. And then there was the time where I had cystic acne and I just didn't want to leave the house because I couldn't without crying because I felt so bad about myself. So I think that almost everybody goes through a period of their life like that. And by Christina showing that she's not Instagram perfect, Instagram filtered all the time, it's really powerful and it can help a lot of people's self-esteems out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Super, super cool of Christina. And just, yeah, there's a little shout out to say you're awesome. Well, before we go, don't forget you can still enter into our 4-year anniversary giveaway. This is a big deal. Super exciting. And if you want to enter still, just go to our Instagram, click the link in the bio, and it has all the information there that you can use and follow to enter. We are super excited. And as we said for the last few weeks, this is just a really cool opportunity. So make sure you enter. Final little thing we want to do before we head out of here. Diggy Moreland just recently had a baby. So we want to say congratulations to Diggy on his future as a father. Super cool. Go on Instagram and just let Diggy know that you've seen it. You're supporting and all of our Almost Famous listeners that you we celebrate relationships. We celebrate kids. It feels like all the time now. Holy cow.
I know,
everybody's
right?
Popping them out. But
hey, oh my gosh,
it's wild. Ashley, great episode. Super cool to be able to talk to Katie on the first week that her episodes air. But we'll be back next week breaking down more of Katie Thurston's season as The Bachelorette and everything wild going on. And I'm sure it's going to get wild. Well, with that, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. And I bet you next week we're going to be talking about two more Bachelorette Bachelor births. So stay tuned. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.